appreciate so much the opportunity. I don't know how many times we've been here, a month and a week. I think you've had enough of Ingomar for a little while. But pray for me as I continue to attempt to teach God's Word in other places. I just have been blessed by your faithfulness and your interest in the Word, and it has been an encouragement to me to be with you and for me to share in some of the things that God is doing in your life as you've talked to me personally. And I say thank you very, very much. If you have your Bibles, would you open first of all to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue and finish up the study in the life of Noah, and the best commentary on the Word of God, of course, is the Word of God itself. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We said before that you can't see faith, but you can see the evidence of it, because faith, real faith, has evidence and it has substance. And of course, you get faith the same place Noah got faith. He listened to the Word of God and he believed it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Why do we study faith? Why is it important to study faith? I want to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I want to have faith, and I want to live by faith, and I want to walk by faith, and I want to please God. And sometimes my faith is weak, because faith is mercurial, like the mercury in a thermometer. Sometimes it's very hot, and sometimes it's dropped down. It's always there, but you have to look real close and say, oh my, the coldness of heart sometimes is reflected in littleness of faith. And so it's mercurial. I want my faith to be what it ought to be. And the only way my faith can be strong, the only way my faith can be mighty, is through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Remember, we said it begins with faith. Is we want to be with God. Grace is God wants to be with us. So grace is God coming down, Emmanuel, God wanting to be with us. Faith wants to come to God, to go to God. And it says right here, he that cometh to God. See, a lot of people spend their whole lives running from God. Well, they don't have faith. That's obvious. They're unbelievers, and they spend their whole life running from God. How foolish. God has only good things to give. God has only great things to give. God has wonderful, wonderful plans for everyone that comes to him. And those that come are those who have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. We know that there's a reward that comes from faith. of them that diligently seek him. And then in verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear," now that's reverence, "moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Here we have a picture of Noah's faith. Keep your finger there. I'll put a little bookmark there, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 7, please. Genesis chapter 7. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Verse 3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." And verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And it grieved him at his heart. Compare that. Compare Compare Genesis 6, verse 6, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And now here, instead of God being pleased, we see God being grieved. I don't want to grieve God. I want to please God. And here we find a whole world that is grieving God. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. It was judgment day. It was high tide. The white-capped waves of divine justice rained down upon the earth. The skies opened up. The fountains of the deep spewed forth their explosive contents. Everything living and dead was covered with water. The strongest of human specimens, the best swimmers in the world, could swim for only so long before they, exhausted, would give up and sink beneath the waves. Huge swells of ocean raged and churned. It was judgment day. It was the fulfillment of God's warning, "My spirit will not always strive with man." The storm of storms raged and the waters covered and ravaged the earth. People climbed up to the top of their houses, to the top of the highest trees. No doubt, perhaps even to the top of the Tower of Babel, to the top of the highest mountains. Nothing was high enough. Had you witnessed the spectacle, it would have been all fury, wrath, anguish, lamentations, terror, darkness. But wait, there in the middle of it all, something is floating. A casket, sealed and safe. There is a witness, and this is it. The just shall live by faith. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it becomes, faith always survives. Finally, the rains stop and the waters subside and the ark settles on a mountaintop. All that are in the ark are saved. All that did not get into the ark have perished. This is a picture of salvation. It is a picture of Christ. It is a picture of faith in Christ. People need to put their faith in Christ. When God judges sin, sinners have nothing to stand on. When God judges sin, sinners have nothing to stand on. Those that were there look for something to stand on, and some went higher and higher and higher. And even if a man was able to climb by his own strength to the top of Mount Everest, it was not high enough. Men try by their good works, by their good deeds, by their religion to get higher, but it's not high enough. When God judges sin, man has nothing to stand on. The testimony of faith is this: it is a walk, it is a work, it is a wait, it is a worship, and it is a witness. Don't lose your place here in Genesis. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 is a portrait of faith. It's a picture of Noah's faith. It is an anatomy of faith. Being warned of God, that's the ear of faith. Of things not seen as yet, That's the eye of faith. Moved with fear. That's the exercise of faith. Prepared an ark. That's the energy of faith. For salvation. That is the endeavor of faith. Condemned the world. That is the estimate of faith. And became the heir of righteousness. That's the end of faith. Warned, the ear of faith. Of things not seen yet, the eye of faith. Moved with fear, the exercise of faith. Prepared an ark, the energy of faith. For salvation, the endeavor of faith. Condemn the world, the estimate of faith. Heir of righteousness, the end of faith. Here, I see, if you'll turn back again to Genesis, a picture of Noah's faith. And his faith has the same anatomy and features as our faith, if it is real. And in Genesis chapter 7 this time, we see another picture of this great salvation that was Noah's through faith. If you look at it, Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, I see a direction. Verses 5 through 8, I see a collection. In verse 9, I see order. In verse 10, I see water. In verses 13 through 15, open. Verse 16, closed. Verses 17 through 22, judgment arrives. Verse 23, Noah survives. Verses 1 through 4, I see direction. Take a look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verses 1 through 4, we see direction. Some years ago, a man was in a Piper Cub alone with the pilot, and the pilot had a massive heart attack. Suddenly, this passenger, in a panic, realized that the plane had no pilot and he didn't know how to fly. He reached for the microphone and he pressed a button and he started calling, help, help. And finally someone on a control tower heard his mayday. They spoke to him and told him how to press the button and release the button. And he told him that the pilot had had a massive heart attack and he was dead. He's up here in this airplane, he doesn't know how to fly. What is he going to do? The man in the control tower said, I am an expert in flying, and I have taught people how to fly for many years in flight training school. I know how to teach people how to fly. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. That was the only way. That was the only way this man had any hope. Man is in jeopardy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way without God that they will land safely. Everyone will fall short and make a crash landing. And so God Almighty in His grace and in His love and in His mercy calls out to all the world, to any sinner who realizes they're a sinner, and says to heaven, mayday, mayday, I'm a sinner, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get to heaven on my own. And God says, no, you won't, but I'll help you get there. Listen very carefully to me. And so the Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and He directed anyone who wanted to land safely in glory and not be a casualty and be lost and perish. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen very carefully. directions. God told Noah what to do. God told Noah what to do. It got bad. You think that things are bad today? It got bad. Never were things so bad. But Noah listened to God. Noah heeded what God said. And of course, Noah survived. In verses 1 through 4, we see the direction. Verses 5 through 8, we see collection. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. All that the Lord commanded him. What was that? He told them to gather up all of the animals, two by two, and collect them in a container. That's what the ark means. It's a container to collect things. It's a box to hold things. And inside there is a menagerie of animals and every imaginable beast. And there we see in this collection, that God is the God of variety. There we look around and we see that each that is there has a purpose and a place. There's the antelope and there's the wolf. Two wolves. Two foxes. Two lambs. There are ants and ant eaters. How different. A collection. God is a God of variety. Each one that is there for a purpose. Do you know that the church is a collection? And each one is here for a purpose. God is a God of variety. And none of us are the same. But each of us are to God precious. And in the church, God has a place for everyone that will come. And not just two of a kind, but all of your kinfolk, and all of your friends, and all of your relatives, and whosoever will, let him come. And so we're so different, but we are a collection. And people often ask Yvette and myself, do you collect things? It's all going to be left behind. All those spoons, you know, the ones from Niagara Falls, you know, something. It's all going to be left behind. No, we often say we just collect memories. You don't have to box them up. You don't have to pack them away. You don't have to worry about them becoming moldy or damaged in the flood. So we collect memories. We've got stacks of them, and it's just wonderful. But the truth of the matter is there's something much more precious than that. And that's souls. The only thing that you're going to take to heaven are the souls of men and women that come to faith in Jesus Christ. Grandma's china cabinet's going to have to stay. I'm sorry. The only thing we take to heaven are souls. And as they went up that ramp two by two, and Noah's children, I don't see anything here about corner cupboards and Persian rugs and they are nice, and we enjoy them while they're here. But they're not the most important thing. It was important to get each kind of animal, two by two. God had a plan for them. It was important to get the souls of those that would trust on board. The only thing that you can take to heaven are souls. Verses 1 through 4, we see direction. Verses 5 through 8, we see collection. In verse 9, we see order, two by two. Two by two, coming to Noah. There was an attraction. As we said, Noah didn't have to go out with traps or tricks. He didn't have to put peanut butter on the on the bait box. God drew them. God drew them. And they no doubt had no inkling that they were being drawn by God Almighty up a ramp into their only salvation. God is a God of order, and two by two they came. There was the pull of God, just as there's the pull of the moon on the earth. There's a greater pull of God's grace tugging at the hearts of men. Today, if you hear His voice, that's the pull. Harden not your heart. God is a God of order. They came two by two. In verse 9, I see order. In verse 10, I see water. Verses 10 through 12. And it came to pass after 7 days, the waters and the floods were upon the earth. After we see the order, we see the water, we see the flood. Some worshipped the water. They had gods of the ocean and gods of the sea. And there are those today who might not worship Neptune, but they wear white lab coats and have doctor's degrees. And they say with great authority that we all came up out of the water. No, we didn't. The very thing they worshipped, the very thing they exalted, the very thing they gloried in, was the thing that destroyed them and drowned them. God brought the flood. After order, we see water. They speak of Mother Earth. I'm much more happy to say Father God. 1 through 4, direction. 5 through 8, collection. Verse 9, order. Verse 10, water. Verse 13 through 15, open. The self same day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons went them into the ark. Verses 13 through 15, the doors are open, and they're coming in. Well, we live in the age of grace, and the door is still open. As there was only one door in the ark, there's only one way into salvation. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. If by me any man enter in, he will be saved. Verses 13 through 14, 13 through 15, the door was open. Verse 16, the door is shut. The door is shut. One day, God will shut the door. Today, God Himself is standing saying, come, come. One day, there'll be no more invitation. The command will be given to close the door forever. And then it'll be too late. Verse 9, order. Verse 10, water. Verse 13, open. Verse 16, close. Verse 17, judgment arrives. And verse 23, Noah survives. Verse 17 says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the earth went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed. Well, the waters prevailed, and the judgment of God prevailed, but praise the Lord, there's a thing called grace. And it rose up above even the judgment. And inside, after judgment arrives, we see that Noah survives. Verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Look at it. And Noah only remained alive. Noah survives. But then, of course, we have to add the proviso and finish it. Would you look at it? And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him. Well, there's a greater than Noah here, the Lord Jesus. And they tried to crucify and kill him. They took him down and laid him in a borrowed grave and rolled a big stone before the face of the sepulchre and sealed it with Roman seals and stationed sentries as guards. The third day he rose up again, triumphant over sin and death and the grave. And he has now ascended up into heaven. And my friend, he is alive. And all that believe in him shall be alive also. Look at it. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him. Are you with him, Jesus? That's all that matters. You know, that is faith, being with him. Agreeing with him. Understanding him. Following him. Are you with me? I hope you're with him. Faith always survives. Move with fear. Faith walks. Prepared an ark. Faith works. Noah became. Faith waits. The heir of righteousness. Faith worships. For the saving of his house. Faith wins. What's that? That is the witness. The walking, the working, the waiting, the worshiping, and the winning. Then, of course, the Bible says that God blessed Noah, and we saw him come out of the ark and build an altar. We saw that God blessed him. Say, wouldn't it be wonderful? Let's go visit Noah. I want to shake your hand. A man of God, a man of faith. Let's go visit Noah and tell him how we appreciate his testimony. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine, and was drunk. We'll stop there. It gets worse. Let's go visit Noah. Let's go and shake his hand. I want to see a man of real faith. What a warning God gives us as he includes in this great story of a man of faith how dangerous this world is. Someone will try to argue with me that there's no evil in the fermented grape. I'm not going to get into that argument if wine is evil or not. You may not find any evil in the wine, but the wine will find evil in you. And that's much worse. Noah, I want to shake your hand. All my life I wanted to see a man of God, a man of God that survived, even the flood. A man that for 120 years preached righteousness and built an ark for the saving of his house. I want to be able to shake your hand. One of his sons would have to say, excuse me, but he's indisposed. Lehman Strauss once told me at dinner, before he went to heaven, he said, I had a good beginning. I want to end well. I want to end well. How can I? I can follow the advice and admonition of the Apostle Paul. Be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Some Christians don't become drunk with fermented grape juice. They get drunk with ambition, drunk with power, drunk with pride. There are many things to get drunk with in this world. And somehow the testimony is tarnished. Well, as I said when we began, it's really not us that saves us, it's God that saves us. And Noah would be the first one as he comes embarrassed out of the bedroom, perhaps hurting from a hangover, after he apologized and repented. He would point out to us that there are many dangerous things in this world that will weaken our faith and destroy our testimony. Real faith witnesses. What kind of witness do we give? Are all your loved ones in the ark? Christ Jesus? Your friends, your neighbors, your nephews, your nieces? Are they all in the ark? Have they come to faith in Christ? Do they have a faith that works and walks and waits and worships and wins? If not yet, those in the ark were saved. Those not in the ark were lost. I don't know how much time we have before the door is shut. I don't know how much time we have until God pours down not judgment of water, because he promised he wouldn't, but judgment of fire. Chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That's the witness. For thee have I seen righteous before this generation. If you would see Noah walking down the streets some years after all of this, and someone pointed him out to you as the original survivor, you said, Noah, tell me, how did you survive? The just shall live by faith. Notice what it says in verse 1. Thus said the Lord unto Noah, Come. He didn't say go. That's why faith always survives. God was with him. That ark couldn't sink. God was there. He said, Come. He didn't say go into the ark. And all Noah did was wanted to be with God. And there's no safer place in all the world than being with him. Oh, let's be with him. And before the door is shut forever, let's invite whoever will to come and be with him too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. And thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the safety that's in him. And Father, as we continue in this world to walk and to work and to wait and to worship and to witness, I pray that you would use us in the message of salvation to save souls, and that you would use this assembly as a gangplank on which men and women, boys and girls, might walk up and into safety and into salvation which is in Jesus Christ. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless.